Our sermon text for today comes from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Today is the Sunday in the church when we celebrate All Saints' Day, which is a time when often we remember those who have died in the past year and their contribution to the church. It originally started out after a man by the name of Saint Nicholas. After Nicholas died, every year on his birthday, they would have a celebration recognizing what Nicholas had done, because he was a great man of faith. And then eventually, through the years, it became a celebration of all those who have died in the past year. But that's not what I want to focus on about today. I want to focus on that great cloud of witnesses. And as I look back in my life, there are people who were part of that cloud of witnesses for me, just as this church is here today because of a great cloud of witnesses over the years who have lived out their faith and shared it with those around them. I just want to talk about a few people. Just a few. The first one I want to talk about is a man by the name of Ronald Drake. Anybody hear of him? You probably didn't. He's a small church pastor in northern Minnesota. And he was my pastor. And the way he led the church to me was amazing. And so as I have become a pastor, he has become my mentor, the one who I try to emulate in being a pastor in the church. Let me tell you a little bit about Ron, or Pastor Drake, as we called him. The church that he pastored was a very small church, could not even afford to pay him a full-time salary. And so Pastor Drake drove school bus. My mom also drove school bus. And when I got bored of riding my own bus, I would go in with her in the morning and I would ride on her bus, especially if there were any of the kids that were giving her trouble. I would have a discussion with them. We'll just leave it at that. But every morning, Pastor Drake would come in, he would get into his school bus, and he would get onto the radio, and he would have a prayer for all of the bus drivers. And it went out to every single bus in the district. And we had a huge district. There were 2,000 kids in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade alone. It was a gigantic school district. There were kids that you couldn't even really have friendships with. You certainly couldn't date them because you couldn't get to their house from your house and back again in one evening. I'm serious. It was a huge school district. 35 miles north of town, 20 miles south of town, 15 miles west of town, and about 10 miles east of town. That entire area, we all went to one school. So there were all kinds of school buses. And he never missed a morning. Never once did he miss a morning that didn't have a prayer for those school bus drivers. And he considered them part of his church and that part of his ministry. But what I really remember about him is this was a small charismatic church. Now, to explain to you what a charismatic church is, it's a church that believes in the speaking of tongues and that tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit and that it is something that is still in use. And so on Sunday evenings would be our prayer meetings. And there was oftentimes speaking in tongues. And Pastor Drake would say, "Now, does somebody have a message from the Lord?" And somebody would speak in tongues, and then somebody would have to interpret it, because that's what the Bible says. That's how it is to be done. If nobody interpreted that first speaking in tongues, he said, "Okay, we're finished. No more." Because the Bible says if it's going to be done, it must be done in an orderly manner, and it must be done this way. And the Bible also says that there should be no more than two or three. And Pastor Drake kept to this teaching in a worship service, that this is the way. For him, the Bible was the ultimate guide and goal. And for me, that made an impression. I never did speak in tongues. It's not a gift that I have. But I appreciated that he, when he did it, led the church, guided by the Bible. So in my ministry, that for me has been the ultimate question. What does the Bible say? How do we live our lives? What choices do we make? We make them according to what God has given us in Scripture. That's our guide. And so in that way, I have had a wonderful witness who has helped me to live out my life as a pastor. One of the other people I want to talk about, and some of you around here will know this one, his name is Denny Durr. And Denny was my pastor mine and Sharon's, and he was Gary's pastor before I went into ministry. And you want to know where I came up with the idea of doing the children's message the way that I do? That was from Denny Durr. I just loved the way he did it, and I loved the way parents would get involved. After he had been doing it for a few years, the parents would try to give their things kids that they thought would trip him up. The goal was, can we stump Pastor Denny? But then I got appointed to my first full-time church. And my first full-time church was Watts Memorial United Methodist Church in Belleville. And before Denny Durr came to Oval, he was at a little church out in the State College area by the name of Watts Memorial United Methodist Church. And when Denny heard that I was going there, he called the people and said, "Oh, you're getting a great pastor." So in that way, for me, he was somebody who was encouraging me in my ministry. And then as I got along in my ministry, when I was in Winfield, Denny was in Danville, and we would meet together on pretty much a weekly basis. We would get together and talk and pray and with other pastors and just support one another and drink coffee and eat donuts. But it was more about the fellowship. And so those two have been vital in my ministry. They have been witnesses. And they are ones who have guided me in how I live. Pastor Drake is now gone. He died of cancer. I often wish I had told him how much he meant to me. But before I graduated from high school and left for the military, he moved to Michigan, and he wanted to go south. So he moved down to Michigan and took a church there. and I never did really get to talk to him again. But I know in your life you have these same stories. Stories of people who have touched your life. Because that's what the church is about. The church is not some sterile place where we come and we sit here and go home. Some churches are that way. It's one of the reasons I don't like the big church. I am a little church pastor. I always have been. I grew up in the little church. And with somebody like Pastor Drake, who showed me what great ministry can be done in the little church. And it's about relationships. Now, I haven't been at this church a long time, but I've come to know some of the history of it. I got to know Pastor Ed a little bit. He keeps me filled in on all of you people. I meet with Pastor Ed once a month. We get together for a fellowship time with other pastors. And he tells me about some of the history and how this church is the last church left in the Pine Creek Valley here, where there were originally 10 churches all up and down this valley, and now they've all come together into this one church. And think of all of the great cloud of witnesses who over the years have lived out their love for God in all of those little churches. And the people in this church who have lived out their love for God and their desire to be God's people. It's great to look back in our lives and think about those who have touched us. Those who have had an impact in our lives. I can look back and think of youth leaders. And I can think of people in the church, Sunday school teachers, and camp counselors, and people who have had an effect on my faith. Most of them you've never heard of before, and some of them I can't even remember their names. But I can still see their faces. In our lives as Christians, we all have a cloud of witnesses who have brought us to where we are. But what I want to say today is, are you a part of somebody's cloud of witnesses? Because that's what we're called to be as the church. It's a history. It's a going forward and sharing our love for Jesus Christ with those around us. I think of some of the kids that I've had in youth group. And I hear about them now and see that they're involved in churches. And I think that's amazing. And young people who've been in my churches and now are grown and married and have kids, and I see that they're living out their faith. And for me, that's exciting to know that I had a part in that. But the church is the church because of all those who have gone before us. Those who have lived out their faith in very simple ways. Of farmers and loggers and businessmen and laborers and all kinds of different people who come from all kinds of different backgrounds, and the only thing they have in common is their love of Jesus Christ and their desire to serve Him and to see the church continue on. That's the great cloud of witnesses, and we need to be a part of it. Now, the last people I want to talk about would probably be the hardest, and that's my parents and Sharon's parents. Wonderful Christian people who lived out their life. My mom died when I was 18. And in her death from cancer, I got to see somebody whose faith was so absolutely powerful that even death didn't scare her. In fact, in some ways, I think she was excited about what was coming after death. And my dad, a man of very few words, but when he could be in church, he was there. He worked a job where 3 out of 4 Sundays a month he had to work. Once he retired, I don't think he ever missed a Sunday. Sharon's parents, simple farmers, but people who tithed and also had money set around, I shouldn't say set around, but always had money if there was somebody in need. And I always think of that. If there was a need that came up in the church, they tried to find a way to meet it, to help people out. Sharon's dad never made more than about, I think he told me, $14 an hour. Never made huge amounts of money. Sharon's mom, I won't say never worked, never worked outside the house. A farmer's wife is always working. But when it came to those in need, they were always there, whatever they could do. And for me, that's also been an inspiration in my life, that we try to do for those who are in need that we come into contact with. Because that's why God has put us here, to touch lives. I could go on and on about the witnesses who have been a big part of my life, about the young man who invited me to come and help put on a new church roof. And he came and picked me up on his motorcycle. What about that? Was exciting. I was 8 years old. And they let me help. An 8-year-old boy, and they let me help. It made a big difference. It made an impression. In our lives, what kind of witness are we being to those we come into contact with? To those who we buy our groceries from? To those who come to work on the appliances at our house? To our family, to our friends, to those in our church? May we be part of that great cloud for others. That's God's calling for each of us. Be a witness. Be God's witness. Amen.